This is the South Florida Tech Podcast, a weekly show where we bring you the awesome, innovative people building our South Florida tech community. Each week, we'll introduce to you one of the Sunshine State's top tech leaders. Learn more about who they are, what they do, and have some fun conversation along the way. Our podcast is presented by Tech Hub South Florida, a nonprofit dedicating to building South Florida into a tech hub, and in partnership with BrainStation. BrainStation is the global leader in digital skills training, offering boot camps and courses in data, design, development, marketing, and product management. They have trained over 100,000 professionals both online and at campuses in New York, London, and Canada.
So that brings us to our really awesome special guest today. Her name is Martha Poulter. She is the Senior Vice President and CIO for Royal Caribbean Group, where she leads the global IT team of both onshore and offshore on the cruise ships. And prior to this, she was Vice President and CIO for Starwood Hotels and Resorts and GE Capital before that. I mean, if that's not a resume, I don't know what is nowadays. She's also got a degree in computer science and engineering from the University of Connecticut and an MBA from the University of New Haven. And in addition to her professional work, she's a board member with First Group and a leading transportation transport operator in the United Kingdom and North America, and is also on the board of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Miami. Martha, you are amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today and for serving on the board of Tech Hub South Florida as well. I really appreciate you taking the time with us.
Great to be with you guys.
So just to kick us off, would love to hear the elevator speech about you, Martha, what you do and what your work in at Royal Caribbean entails.
So look, my interest in technology started early, started in high school, and it really has led me down this amazing path of exploration, of learning, of change, and of impact. What I really get excited about is being able to make that impact to businesses that I've been a part of, some of which you mentioned, and really see that change come to life. And in today's world, as you guys know, it's table stakes. It's what every business is dying to do, get their hands on more data, be able to leverage that data for growth, be able to leverage it to be more effective in their go-to-markets, whatever the case might be. And so I say this almost every year, and I can't believe that it still continues to be true. It's almost never been a better time to be in tech than now. And that statement continues to be true, which is what makes careers in technology so, so exciting. At Royal Caribbean, we can get into the operational pieces later, because obviously the industry's been very, very disrupted given the pandemic. But we're really focused on a few key things as we head now into the second quarter of 2021, which is return to growth. We had an incredibly successful business with very, very loyal brands and loyal customers who admired our brands and our products. And so we're super excited to get back into that growth mode to really deliver amazing memories, amazing experiences and memories through vacations. So that's growth is really number one, number two, number three. You know, you can go down the list to whatever number you want. Second is to do that efficiently. Obviously, we've been in this very disruptive period. And so we want to do it in not only a safe manner, but an efficient manner for everyone involved. And then obviously the return in a way that's healthy. Clearly that is a priority for us. It's a priority for all local municipalities and governments that we deal with and health officials. So it's clearly at the top of everyone's mind, including ours, because you can't have a fantastic vacation if it's not a healthy one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy to have my Royal Caribbean shares and looking forward to that growth as well, seeing good things there. So that's awesome to hear. But Yay, I know, exactly. Before we, I want to, you know, you mentioned something, which two things that really like stood out for me and that I really connect with. One is I really agree, it's never been a better time to be in tech. There's so much opportunity, which also means there's a huge opportunity to be inclusive and, you know, build a diverse team, diverse tech ecosystem. And, you know, there's not that many women in computer science. I love that you, the other thing I loved is that you shared that you got into this early. You knew in high school that it was what you wanted to do. And I just thought it would be awesome to hear how did, you know, a little bit about that path. How did you know that computer science was for you? And maybe sharing a little bit from your journey, if there are other women or girls tuning in, how do they get involved in computer science? How do they go down? How do they start on a similar path to how you started?
I think for most of us, look, my journey started so long ago relative to what we think of as modern technology today. And what's really interesting, I think, you know, sadly, in many ways, the idea of how did you know computer science is still true today. I don't think kids know. I don't think people realize the power of their choices at such a young age, to be honest with you. I have kids now that are in their 20s, and I think about that for them. I really wonder, how do you know? How do you know at 18? How do you pick a path and then stick to it? So I guess the first thing I would say is, maybe you don't know, and maybe you try the things, and then you find your way, and that's okay. There's plenty of people that have done that. For me, what happened was I love math and science, and I happened to have an opportunity to take a class in high school that was a coding class. And that was a novelty at the time. I took it as an elective because it was a novelty and I wanted to see what it was about. And it turned out what I really loved was that whatever I told the machine to do, it did. Mm-hmm. You know, so I told it to do this, it did that. And it was linear. And so if you think about that, for people who are really tied to math and science, by and large, you know, math has right and wrong answers. Computing has right and wrong outcomes. Science, you know, again, has some art forms, but it leads you to conclusions. And so they have the common themes. So I would say, look, explore it. Explore all the different avenues of the kinds of things that have those tenets to it, where you would find a lot of satisfaction. That one class in high school was really what got me into this major. I didn't know what computer science was, to be honest with you. It's not like somebody was sitting down talking to me and saying, oh, you know, you should really, you know, follow in the footsteps of blah, blah, blah. It interested me. I thought it was kind of cool. It was great that it had that kind of power. And it turns out, wow, the power that I had then, you know, over 30 years ago in computing was nothing compared to what we have today. But who knew, right? Again, you don't know at that age. You don't know what's going to evolve. It's a very, very powerful instrument. And today, I think it's table stakes. One of the things I said earlier, I think it's table stakes for most businesses. I can't imagine a small, medium, or large business that doesn't leverage computing as a word, you know, as a broad word of, you know, data, you know, if computing plays for efficiency, for go-to-market, for finding your customers. I can't imagine a small, medium, or large business that doesn't use some form of computing to do their business. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't agree with that more. I talk a lot about this. I feel the universal language of the world is technology. And if you're not learning some, you know, a little bit, a lot, a medium amount of it, it's really hard to be competitive. But it sounds like your path kind of got started by giving it a shot. You tried the elective program for coding, and that's how you got in. So I just, for everyone out there, try it, see what it sparks.
Exactly. And look, I think there's a lot of, oh, you have to be super, you know, geeky and super this and super that. It's not the case, really. I mean, I think I see such, to your point on diversity, you know, you see such a broad spectrum of folks that are involved and passion points across the domain. You know, you might be passionate about data, you might be passionate about mobile, you might be passionate about web and go to market kind of, you know, how you exploit that. There are so many different subdomains in the field that I think the opportunities are almost endless. We don't have enough time to talk about all the opportunities.
No, but there's just so much on this. And one of my favorite topics, and I have Joe's as well, is talking about, you know, pathways and people and, you know, how folks find their way into these really amazing opportunities in their life and in the tech industry. But I would love to bring the conversation to Royal Caribbean for a moment. I mean, it's been a really interesting year, I think, for everybody, but probably more than most for the cruise industry. And you guys have had to pivot a lot in the last year with the pandemic, and then planning and still trying to keep up operations and keep up the strategy. Would love to hear how you've been able to be innovative and nimble and agile through all of this time, and hear maybe a story or two about that journey.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, again, almost for every business on the planet, almost an unbelievable last, has it been 13 months? Yeah, just over 13 months, right? So we've been out of operations for 13 months. Our ships have been in various stages of what we call cold layup, which is basically in a suspended state, you know, whether they are actually tied up and unmanned, or they have minimal crewing on board and are just sort of circling about for provisions. What we've done in technology is use the opportunity of this horrible stop to do a few things. One is to accelerate our modernization agenda. You know, you think about what we were just talking about, the pace of technology, how fast things are moving, the changes that are happening all the time. And in what we do, our ships, our vessels also do not stop. They are carrying passengers 365 days a year, 7x24. It is incredibly difficult to disrupt those operations. And so we have very, very small opportunities to do upgrades or uplifts or new installs or things that are going to change their operating environment. Typically, our ships go into maintenance, like for their quote unquote oil change or big service, like in a car environment, every 5 years. I mean, imagine that in a tech world, 5 years is an eternity. I mean, it's unsustainable. So what we did through this period is to really take advantage of that downtime to do things that we don't typically have the opportunity to do and upgrade new installations. We installed new medical systems on board to make sure that we were prepared in case we needed to deal with any situations. And we've been uplifting all of our protocols. And so protocols typically are maintained through a lot of data. And you know that you're following the protocol through the gathering of data. And so that data gathering entailed new systems development, you know, new ways that the crew are going to follow and engage with guests and engage with their processes. So anyway, all those installations typically we do on board. Typically we fly people. And especially the first few ships, you know, we bring them out and we say, okay, Joe, you're going to own the first two ships. You're going to install this capability. You're going to train. You're going to watch. You're going to see how folks are interacting with the technology. We couldn't do that, obviously, not only because there's not guests on board, but because there's minimal crewing and nobody was able to travel. So we had to come up to your question, Joe, on innovative techniques. We had to do all of this work remotely through remote hands and eyes and ears. So some of it did require physical hands that we had, you know, an IT manager on board that was able to be our remote hands. But really because they weren't dealing with guests, which is their primary job, and crew, which is, you know, really the essence of what they do, we were able to sort of second them and ask them to work on our shared corporate agenda. So it was a brand new way of working. We did innumerable amount of changes, which is both exciting, exhilarating, and sort of scary, you know, all at the same time, because because it's not typically what you try to do, but it's really, really exciting. And this brand new way of working has made us rethink how we're going to go forward. You know, what the things that we were doing, do we need to be doing them that way? And if not, why? And really sort of question our release cycles, our methods, our interaction with the crew members, the IT crew members in particular. Every ship has IT crew members, IT specialists, how we interact with them. And we think that's a really exciting proposition for us. When an employee travels on a ship,
so you're more
we eat up
ever.
A guest. We yeah. are, you know, we eat up a guest cabin and that's revenue. So it's a real cost benefit to us not traveling and not being on board, to be honest with you. So it's, yeah, it's super exciting.
Yeah, I feel like the pandemic has really gotten everyone to look at these lemons we've been handed and try to make some lemonade, which it definitely sounds like, you know, Royal Caribbean is leveraging all of that. Would you say that this new, you know, is that a strategic move to, you know, have a competitive advantage? You know, how else are you leveraging, you know, data, technology to have that competitive advantage? So even though you're not sailing right now, is that, you know, has Royal Caribbean really doubled down on what is your competitive advantage, how you're going to leverage it, particularly with the use of technology?
100%. And you know, I talk a bit, you know, just now I was really focused on ships, but we're doing the same thing on shore. And to your question, mm-hmm. Joe, I think the point on shore is, how are you finding the right customers for the right product at the right time, and doing that at the most in the most efficient way? And we have so much information, you know, in our business model. Think about it. You live with us. Mm-hmm. You live in our product for days. Mm-hmm. What other business has that? And think of all of the data that we, you know, if we're smart, and I think we are, you know, how you gather that, and then how you harness that, and then how you put that to work. And so it's exactly to your point, what we've been working on, what we plan to go to market with. And we do think it will be a competitive advantage in the sense of not only satisfactory for customers, because it will give them more of what they want, but it's easier for our travel partners who do business with us, and it's easier for us.
Just getting
yes,
off.
Yes, absolutely.
Just getting off mute there for a second. That was a quick. That was a quick one there. So, you know, you've had this really successful track record, and have built amazing teams and great cultures. I mean, you know, whenever somebody hears the name Royal Caribbean, I think it's just nothing but exuding a positive experience. And the technology is a huge part of that, but how are you able to build the team through that? And how are you able to lead the team through that, right? I mean, I think when people see something like a Disney World or a Royal Caribbean, they're just like, oh, wow, this is nice. But there's so much that goes into that, and the people side of it is huge. I'm curious about your perspective there.
You know, you have an out-of-the-gate advantage. It's interesting, the comparison with Disney, because I think it's very, very fair. And there, like I said to you before, you know, there are few companies that what they do for work is they do fun. I mean, sort of stop and think about that. What other companies say there exist? I mean, how many could you name? And it's a limited amount, right? There's probably gaming companies, but of scale. Of substance and scale, there are very few that what they do is deliver fun. And yeah. I remember I was interviewing one of our brand presidents, just like, Martha, what we do is fun. You know, he was in my face like, wow, what we do is fun. And he's right. You know, it is fun. And so I think that piece attracts people. It's like a light with bugs, you know, it draws people, because it's not pervasive. You know, you don't look sort of at the hiring landscape and say, oh, you know, every place I can go to, I can think of that in that way. And so we have a tremendous amount of loyalty in our employee base, more than I've seen, and passion, just a raw passion for the brands, the, like I said, the product, the experience, making sure we deliver fantastic experiences in a way that's, you know, it's just different than financial services. It's different than, you know, other places I've worked because of the sheer power of what we do, of the brand, yeah, and what we're focused on delivering.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to be, you know, I've never thought about it in the manner of it's a product that you live in for multiple days. And yeah, so of course, if it's not fun, no one's going to want to come back. So that's a great way to think about it. And, you know, I mean, I want to come work there. That sounds great. I love my job. I love what I'm doing now. But I mean, for anyone who's listening, it's a great pitch. It's a great, sounds like a great environment. I noticed in your bio that you're also a board member of First Group PLC, which is great. I mean, that's a whole conversation in and of itself, which is being a board member. But I am curious about that board seat and First Group PLC. It's also a transport operator in the UK and North America. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what is that company and how do you function as a board member and what they're doing?
Sure. And you know, believe it or not, it's going to be things that you recognize. So get ready. So First Group is a FTSE 250 listed company in London. It is a transport company, as you say. So in the UK, it provides public transportation services, so rail and public city bus kinds of services. And in North America, we own Greyhound. We own the largest student bus company called First Student. And then we have a business that is mostly private labeled that is called First Transit, and it does airport shuttles, university shuttles, employer workplace shuttles, medical shuttle transport, but it's not branded, so you wouldn't recognize it, you know. So maybe, you know, the bus that you jumped on from Chicago Midland to your, you know, Hertz rental car was one of our buses, or if you go to school at Stanford University, that's one of our buses. Like that.
Very cool.
So it's a very large transport operation. And I've been on that board, you could probably tell me 4 years, 5 years, something like that. It's been a bit.
It's all flying so fast these past few years.
I don't even know what day I'm on anymore, right? Do you guys have this? I don't even know what day and let alone what year. I keep saying 2020. Yeah, I keep saying 2020 and we're doing 2022 budgets. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you and me both. It's okay. We're all there. So in addition, you're to boards, I mean, you're also on the board of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Miami, and I love when we dive into some of the nonprofit side of these conversations, because it's really embodying some passion too for the community, and would love to hear about what you do on that board and why you chose to get involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters.
You know, I feel like education is just such a game changer, and part of being open to education or, you know, different pathways in your life, even like Joe, when we were talking before about how did you get into tech or computer science, is there's a lot of mentorship in that. And, you know, sometimes we don't have all of those right role models. And so I think this organization, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Miami, is so well focused on our youth, our local youth, how to establish those relationships in a way that's meaningful, that's life altering, that sets kids up on their right pathway, whatever that is, you know, for them, and establishes a connection that's going to serve them. I mean, we have connections that go through well into adulthood. It's well beyond kids. And the kids stage. So, and the stories that you hear come out of that is, you know, kids finding their passion, finding their rightful road and path in a way that might not have happened if they didn't have that sort of connection and guidance and steer. So it's really interesting. I mean, before I moved to Florida, I was involved in a community college board. Same thing, right? You know, how do you give people a chance? How do you set them up for success? How do you open a pathway that they might not have thought was open to them through education and through guidance and mentorship? It's life altering.
And yeah, 100%.
I'm gonna ask one more question before Joe gets into the rapid fire. And this is more of a curiosity question. You work for a company that's based on vacations and relaxing. And I'm curious what your next vacation or getaway is going to be after we're, you know, back to somewhat normalcy here, hopefully soon.
I want to go anywhere. Well, actually, my husband and I will be married 30 years this year.
Wow, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And we have been talking about this. And so, you know, thinking about what are the options, what would we like to do? And so I'm going to go with what we would like to do, because I don't know if it's going to be possible, but we would like to go back to the Amalfi Coast in Italy.
Oh, okay. I'm right there with you. That's a good spot.
My mouth sort of salivates just thinking about the food and the lemons and it's wonderful.
I'm over great. Here thinking about Spokane, Washington. She's like, I'm going to Italy. I love this.
Like I said, I don't know if it's possible this year, but it's what we would like to do.
Well, I do hope that you get to go. That would be an amazing trip. But Joe, it's time for rapid fire.
Let's do it. All right. So we're not done yet, but we're almost there. And we always love to end our show with a little bit of rapid fire. So with that said, Martha, what is the book on your nightstand right now? What are you currently reading?
Okay, so I can't tell you the name of it because I'm really bad at names, just to give you that insight. It's a James Patterson novel that I can't tell you the name of, but I've been like on this binge of James Patterson, like in series. So that's what I'm reading.
Would you recommend it? Is a good one? Your favorite author?
They're all easy. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about favorite, but it's easy. You know, if you just want to get lost for a little while, it's easy.
Yeah, I like that too. Most productive time of day?
About 10.
Awesome. And what time do you go to bed?
About 10. And that would be a.m. and p.m.
12 hours to recalibrate. I like it. Time you wake up?
About 6.
And do you have a favorite podcast or where do you go to for news, inspiration, information, whether it's a podcast or a website or a source?
There's a word in Spanish called that talks about a like a hummingbird that kind of picks at different flowers. And I don't have kind of one source. I like going to a bunch of sources. And so what makes me think of it when you ask that is that word. I like a lot of different sources. I tend to look at, I really like the Wall Street Journal, to be honest with you. I find it doesn't get too skewed in one way or another. And I think it's very grounded to business, even in the areas of what's happening around the world, which really affects all of us as business leaders. So I like that as sort of my grounded middle, but I like going to the Apple News section and kind of seeing the myriad of things that come together and get curated and come together. That's probably my go-to.
Like it, awesome. And do you have a motto, a mantra, or an inspirational quote that you come back to, that you live by, that inspires you, and what would that be?
Probably the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you.
That's great.
I love it. And final question, Martha, and that's what bit of advice do you have for any aspiring tech leaders here in South Florida that are listening or watching?
Please reach out to the community and stay engaged. We in technology need you. Please know that and leverage it. because it's a wide open field. You will find your passion for sure.
Awesome. Martha, thank you so much for talking with us here today. I am looking forward to my first cruise on Royal Caribbean at some point in the future. Thank you to all the work that you do, either with Tech Hub South Florida, with Big Brothers. I mean, just being part of the community, your leadership means so much for us. And I want to give a shout out too to Joe real quick and Brain Station. We talked about them for a moment before, but also, educating our next generation here for our tech industry. You guys do so much work too. So check out Brain Station and formerly WinCode, as we mentioned before. And thank you guys so much for helping me start my morning today. I always enjoy the Tuesday podcast because there's always a fun conversation, and this was a special one. So thank you all so much, and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
Thank you.
Good to be with you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Our podcast sponsor is Emerge Americas. Each year, global enterprises, disruptive technology, and elite startups are highlighted at Emerge's premier tech event, Connecting the Americas. The event is held in Miami Beach, which to date has hosted organizations from over 40 countries and featured over 250 speakers from around the world. Emerge Americas is transforming South Florida's tech ecosystem by connecting entrepreneurs, investors, lead business executives, and decision makers.